Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thanks so much for tuning into the show as we celebrate all things creating and stories, and let's get ready to tune our imaginations together. I believe travel is essential to our understanding of ourselves and the people in the world, and I don't travel to see things, but rather to be with other people. It's the tiny adventures you have that are the most memorable. Perhaps it's a story about the menu item you ordered that comes to the table is nothing like what you expected. Maybe the story you'll tell when you get home is about the search for the vintage store that took you up winding roads and into new neighborhoods and led you to a great slice of pizza from this random place along the way. Or it's the time you missed your train stop and accidentally went into another country and had to find your way back. Or you'll remember the rainstorm that doused you and filled the streets with streams of water on your one day of shopping, but you persisted. Maybe it's the waiter that teased and flirted with your friend and made the lunch on the terrace spectacular. Likely you'll treasure the late nights you spent sitting around, sipping a lovely beverage, and reconnecting with your loved ones around a big table. It's the people you spend your time with on the trip and the people you interact with on your tiny adventures that make travel meaningful. I came away last year for some really big trips feeling fabulous about my family and my friends and our wild daily little adventures. The time away in another world reminded me that all of us, everyone out there in the world, everyone we encountered, everyone that was there with us, just want to be with the people they love and have a good time. Some things, you know, they see some things and share some wonderful conversation and indulge in tasty treats and joyful meals. And what a gift to the world it would be if we could just give that to every family. Go where you want with the people you want and find and share joy in all the little adventures of daily life. And I want to let you know, too, that all of those adventures I mentioned could happen anywhere. The world is all around us and out there waiting for us. We don't always have to take a big trip. I wish we could change the definition of the word travel. Travel can also be venturing down to that place around the corner. What matters is our attitude. What little adventure will you have today? When we take on travel, the travel mindset, and vow to see the world around us, we might just find connections to the people around us and great stories. If you are kind and curious and willing to genuinely see your surroundings, you will live in a rich and wonderful world. So go for a travel the next time you go out. Maybe you need some inspiration to ponder where you might travel next. And you're in luck today because we're going to take a trip and remember how to connect with our imaginations. So get ready to unpack your imagination. It's the greatest trip you'll ever take. Today in the Art Zany Radio studio, I'm here with Patrick Broucher. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Paula. I'm so happy to be here.
I know. I was thinking it's been like years.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you so much for having us.
It's a delight. I can't wait to tell our listeners about this story. You're also joining us today is Zeke Brooks.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. You were on as well a couple years ago.
Yes, I was for Wrong Window.
Right. So exciting to have you back. Carson Bechtel, first time, I believe, on the show?
Yes, it is. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight. I'm thrilled to have you, as well as Chris Snow. I think this is your first time, too.
Yeah, it is. I'm kind of a new person in the area, so this is great.
I'm thrilled. And it's such a... This production is going to be fabulous. It's from the Paradise Community Theater, and it's Around the World in 80 days. And it is a show for everyone that loves adventure, from everyone in the family. It takes you back to Victorian England inside a race to complete a travel challenge and explores wonderfully funny feats of imagination. You can get more information at ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org. Just click on the theater page. They've got the link to the tickets as well as information about the production. Let's just dive into this and hear a little bit about the story. But first, I'll have you each introduce yourself, maybe a little bit about your world, your theater world, and productions that you've been in, and your connection to Around the World in 80 Days. And also, if you want to share with us, if you were able to travel the world, where might you go and how might you travel? So I'll start with you and see where you want to go.
All right. I'm Patrick Brocker. I'm the director of Around the World in 80 Days. I've been sitting with this show for about a year, so I'm terribly excited to actually see it open on February 14th, running for 2 weekends. I get chills, actually, when I think about it. So I'm terribly, terribly excited about it. I'm terribly excited to have people come and see this show. And it is about imagination as we travel around the world. And we do end up having the audience really have to use their imagination as well as we travel to different places around the world. It is fun, madcap, and silly. And this is the fifth production I've directed for Paradise Community Theater. I'm also an actor and a writer as well. And if I, traveling the world, I just recently found out that I have got relatives on my grandmother's side history in Morovia. Mm. In the Czech Republic. And I love the Czech Republic. And I did not know that when I had traveled there to Prague. So I'm planning a trip there, you know. And even if I don't make it there, planning a trip is learning about another place, mm-hmm. about travel, about foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so I educate myself on those kinds of things. And it's exciting to do that. I would also then go to Norway. Mm. And then to finish that trip, because I have relatives there as well, and then completing that around the world, I would go through Taiwan and Vietnam, and then come back to the United States.
Okay, plane, boat, well, you'd have to do a little bit of one of those things get across the ocean.
Right, the boat, right. I would love to take the train through Europe.
Mm.
I did that a little bit when I was there, and I just love you get to be able to see the countryside and see the different things that you can't see when you're on an airplane.
Right, and it's right. A lot different than here in America. They're actually quite nice, many of them.
Right. And you're riding on the on there. It's a different experience than sitting forward in an airplane, and it's different communal moments with people
mm-hmm.
that are traveling for work, they're traveling for pleasure. And just conversations that you can strike up with people. Plus, the old train stations are super exciting as well.
I hope you do get to take that trip. That sounds like a very doable trip sometime.
Yeah.
Well, welcome again.
Thank
you. Let's keep going. Let's learn about our next guest.
Hi, I'm Chris Snow, and I am a transplant from St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, and a year ago bought a house in Faribault and just had been really needing to get find a group to be involved in. And I've kind of been out of the theater scene for a little bit. I went to school for theater and was quite involved with a variety of different aspects. And I loved the training, the movement, the dance, and singing. And then after school, my ex-husband now, Randy Funk, we started a theater company in St. Paul with some other Shakespeare friends.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of a big deal. Pig's Eye Theater.
Oh, yeah.
And that lasted several years. We worked really hard. We put several shows on, and it was really a good community, but kind of wore itself out. And then, you know, life happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriage and kids and things like that and careers. Just kind of got away from it and you know, dabbled here and there, but it's been forever, and it's been excruciating since I've been away. And I've always thought, I can always be an older actress. I can get back to it at any time. You know, we've got the training and the experience. And so
I think that's something people forget, right? That you can always enter the theater world at any age. You don't, even if you don't have experience.
Absolutely.
There's a role for you behind the scenes, on the stage, in the orchestra pit, wherever you might, you know, fall. So.
Absolutely. And I mean, to me, it just brings me such joy. I mean, singing and dancing brought me so much joy as a kid, but just being around creative people, I was even saying to Patrick, I mean, I feel like I found my people here in this community. And it's just like, it's such a lift. It is such, I just am so happy. So now that I'm involved, I'm just like, just feeling so good about this process and love it. And the show, the adventure of travel is, and I probably didn't think about it at the moment, but now that we're talking about it, what a dream to travel the world would be really amazing. I had never thought about traveling the actual world, but there's plenty of places I'd like to go. I'm starting to think about a trip to Sweden. I have a friend over there that keeps asking me to come, and that might happen soon. When I was in college, I did travel as a student, studied in England, theater and literature over there, and then I was able to take what was called the Eurorail.
Yes.
get a pass and you just travel. And it wasn't just trains, but I mean, sometimes we were on like a hovercraft or it was crazy stuff. We were, you know, train goes into the ferry, then you take the ferry across and you're in Ireland. I mean, it was and the people we met and the experiences, and sometimes we you know, did the train, so we would sleep on the train overnight, or maybe we were sleeping on the train platform. I mean, we were just with our backpacks, and it was just such an adventure. I'm sure it was hard at the time, but looking back, I wish all college students could travel the world, travel like that. It was just such an experience.
I think you're right, and we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. I don't know. I'm excited to bring that back, and I think, and the idea of changing the definition of travel so that it could mean just, you know, even going up to the cities for a night or going down to Faribault, having an adventure, right? Add a little bit of that. Get out with people in the world. So thank you. I'm thrilled to learn more about your role in the show. We'll get to that, but we've got some more guests to introduce here. Let's hear about our other cast members from around the world in 80 days.
Hi, I'm Carson Bechtel. I've been doing theater like since I was born. My dad was a theater professor, and he would put me in some of his plays when I was very young.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't have much memory of, but
are there like videos of those, I hope?
I think so.
Somewhere? That'd be fun.
And I've done a lot of Purple Door shows. I have a big pin that says Purple Door alums.
Oh, how exciting. That is such a great program here at the Northfield Arts Guild. And there was so much talent comes up through that program.
Yeah, I just adore it.
Mm-hmm.
Any
other productions you've done or what you're traveling the world?
Yeah, this is my second show at the Paradise. I was in Crazy for You.
That's where I saw you. Okay, which was an incredible show. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
It was so much fun.
It was. It was just absolutely. I think I didn't really know the show before, but now it's become like one of my favorites that if it's done again, I'm going to it. So thank you for introducing me to the show.
If I could travel anywhere in the world, that's kind of a tough question because for a long time, my dream was to go to Japan, but about 2 years ago, I went on a trip to Japan with my school, and, you know, we went all over and used a whole bunch of modes of transportation. I got to ride the bullet train. It was amazing.
Ooh, that is awesome.
So I think now I'd probably want to see Scotland because I have a cousin who lives there and I have a few friends there as well.
I think I love these stories, and I think that's something we sometimes forget. Like, and we're so lucky in America because all of us have connections and roots in other parts of the world through family, or now you can make connections just through like interests on the thing they call the web, and you know, there's people out there that are just wonderful people. So I hope you get to take that trip. The sun has just popped up in here, so we can take a second, maybe drop the shade down. I might ask you, Patrick, to help us out with that, because otherwise you guys are going to be in the spotlight the entire time of the show. It's lovely to see the sun, though. Somebody wants you to be in the spotlight. Well, we've got one more guest to introduce. Like, go ahead and there we go. Thank you. Let's hear a little bit about your story.
Hi, I'm Zeke Brooks. I am playing Phileas Fogg in this show. I've been involved in shows at the Paradise since middle school, maybe. I think maybe eighth grade. Pretty consistently doing a lot of shows ever since then, especially the last couple of years. It's like one after the other. I've already figured out my next thing I'm doing after this. I'm going to be building the set for Tick, Tick, Boom.
That's coming up next, yeah.
So, you're welcome, Will. There's an early advertisement.
Will, we'll appreciate that.
But, yeah, I've been doing shows there forever, and I'm really excited about this one. I think it's super interesting, super stressful. I've never had a role this big. So I've been working super hard. I have a lot of work to do still, but I think we'll get there in time. And I think I like traveling. I don't know where I would want to go in the world. Maybe somewhere in Europe, but wherever the nature is good. I'm a big fan of nature. I'd like to see Alaska at some point. And I don't know how I would travel, because traveling is really stressful. I hate planes. I hate them.
Well, you can travel without a plane.
I would also hate boats. So I think I would just do the plane to get it over with faster.
Buses and cars.
Yeah.
Taxis.
Something. But I think maybe like Greenland, Alaska, some parts of Ireland would be really fun to see. And it would be pretty cool to see like Japan or something, but yeah.
I hope you get to do some of those, and that maybe you'll, you know, be okay taking some of those modes of transportation. We all got to face something. In fact, that's one thing travel does, is it lets you, you know, think, I can't do this. And then you do it, and you're like, I just did that. So that's very exciting. And this story, we should mention, it's based on a novel by Jules Verne, and he was published in France in 1872. And I thought what was interesting, one thing I learned, is it's not based on a true story. It came from his imagination like that. So I'm thinking, you set yourself back in 1892 or 1872, right, when he was writing this. And there's been so many different productions of this. Patrick, what do you think keeps this story, we're still intrigued by the idea of traveling around the world?
I think, for one, with this story, it's based on a bet. It's based, Phileas Fogg thinks he can do it. He's got this mind that is cyclical, if you will. He studies this book. He knows when all the trains leave from here and there and everywhere. And so he knows, he's even built into his time frame, if something runs a little slow or fast and they get ahead and they slow down, but he knows he's still going to make it. That's how his brain works. He's read this book and he knows everywhere in the world where everything goes.
And but right, if we think about the time, it doesn't. They didn't have planes.
Nope. We're traveling by steamer boat and steam engine train.
Mm-hmm.
And we do run into some snags along the way. That's how travel is, right? But how do we recoup that and get ahead of the game? And one of the scenes is one of the ways we travel is actually by an elephant. So that is something that's top secret, because we create an elephant on the stage.
Ooh.
And I'm very excited about that.
Magic of theater.
The magic of theater is right.
Did you set it in the 1870s?
We're kind of all over the place.
Okay. Which is something else you're allowed to do
in
the theater.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the characters and some of the challenges that came with this. And Patrick, I might ask you again to drop, because now the sun decided to chase us and came through on to your side. So now you two are spotlighted.
I'm okay. I need a little vitamin D.
I know, right? And so what were some of the challenges for you? Tell us about your character that you play, too.
Miss Euda is...
Euda.
With like a double O. That's how I remember. So she is a... Her father was a wealthy Bombay merchant, and he, when he passed away, her uncle was trying to get her fortune and sold her off to a wealthy old Raja. And so when the Raja dies, the old tradition is that the wife is buried with him in his funeral pyre. And it's oftentimes a voluntary, but this was very involuntary. She did not want to. She did not want
even
to be
though
burned.
She hadn't died.
She hadn't died. They burned her alive. But of course, Phileas and his troop happens upon the scene, and they decide to rescue her. And so they rescue her. So that's how I come into the play. And I think, you know, as far as the challenges, just. I think part of it is, you know, when we first meet her, she's just narrowly escaped death,
mm-hmm.
and can't believe like she was ready to die and now she's, you know, she's going to be alive. And so she slowly is kind of broken open a little bit as far as like feeling more excited about life and the journey with her and the relationships that are around her. And not that that's a challenge, but it is in a way, you know, just kind of finding that character. And, you know, we all kind of have a little of that in us. And so, yeah.
So are you a part of the traveling crew that's going around the world?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. So I stick with them. I stick with them till the end.
And so let's hear about the crew that's who takes the bet. Who's the first one? Okay, so let's hear about the bet and what you imagine the reason for taking that bet was.
Well, actually, we've been talking about, so Phileas Fogg is a very wealthy British guy, and we were talking about how he doesn't really seem to have a job, and our theory is that he has a crippling gambling addiction, and that's why he's so wealthy.
Oh.
So whenever the opportunity comes up for a bet on something he's an expert in because he loves reading this book and studying the world, he's super eager to take that chance and what seems to him easy money. And yeah.
Right, because he's offered a big reward if he can actually do this, and that becomes motivation for him to go off on set off on this adventure. Yes, and tell us then, Carson, how when you come about and your character, I'm going to try and say Passepartout. Yeah. Oh, no, I sort of got it.
Passepartout.
There we go. Passepartout.
So Passepartout is Phileas Fogg's very recently hired valet.
As one would have if you were back in that era, right?
He's kind of goofy, very French. I haven't told Patrick this, but I actually was very inspired by a character from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure named Polnareff, because they are very similar.
Oh, I don't know that. Is that another play?
No, it's an anime.
Oh,
I love that.
But and maybe they were the characters based on. We don't know. It could be.
But Passepartout is an ex-circus guy, so he's very acrobatic, and he fights a lot. So it's a very fun for me. I've also done dance my whole life at Northfield Dance Academy. You're welcome, Mom. So it's just been super fun for me to play with, you know, doing a French accent and
and you told us what Passepartout in French means. That's an intriguing part of the puzzle. Do tell.
He says that roughly translated, it means he has a knack for slipping out of tricky situations.
Ooh.
Ooh, is right.
Perfect for the job. So tell us, in casting this and putting this together, what were the things that you were most excited about to bring to the stage, and why this did you decide to direct this production, Patrick?
Hmm.
Oh no!
This production.
I wish the radio audience could have seen your face.
This production was in. There was something that I really wanted to direct, and we were not able to get the rights to it. And I went back to a long list of things that I had compiled over the years, of things that I found interesting, out of that list, I went back to Around the World in 80 Days. And I actually read two different scripts and chose
with
the same story, yes.
Oh,
yep.
Different adaptations from the novel.
Correct. And different theater companies were doing them.
Okay.
So I chose this one. I thought it was much more adventurous than the other one. And we were able to play a little bit more with this script and take it to some different places as far as this, the set and costuming and things like that. And what was that?
Just this production and what are you excited about doing this show? Because you came in here just
I am beaming. I actually am. If you know me, I am smiling from ear to ear. I'm just so darn excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about this is that this is community theater, right? And some of my friends from my previous life in Minneapolis say, well, why aren't you doing things in Minneapolis? And why aren't you doing this there? And it's because that's a job. That's a living.
That's so smart.
This gives me the freedom to play and just do. And it is about community, because this cast is quite diverse in ages and everything else that includes that, which I think is really special. I have cast some people that I'm really giving some opportunity to really shine and do their thing and hone their craft. And then to be able to invite Chris Snow along for this ride, who is a recent transplant and looking for her people, and it's here. Aww, it's here.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me 8 years ago when I came onto the scene at Paradise Community Theater. And it was an immediate embrace by everyone that's involved. And that has been consistent in that space and in that building. And I know that it will continue to thrive because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so exciting for me, is to have that opportunity. To give that opportunity to everyone else.
Right. Wow. That should be a commercial. I think that's pretty spectacular. But it's true. I find it when I talk to people about the theater in this part of the state. It's just phenomenal. And everyone really does step up for each other and give people opportunities. And just you see people shine. And as an audience, we feel that, right? We get excited about what's happening on the stage. So I can't wait to see it. Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Paula Granquist here on Art Zany Radio. These performances of Around the World in 80 Days open on Valentine's Day. Perhaps maybe you want to make a date night for that. But you can do that anytime, because you don't have to limit date nights just to one day. So you can, the performances are for, let's see, two weekends, right?
Correct.
And so the 14th and the 15th, 21st and 22nd at 7:30. And then there's Sunday shows at 2 p.m. on the 16th and the 23rd. And those tickets are available at paradisecenterforthearts.org/theater. Or you can call the box office at 507-332-7372 and visit with the lovely people there. Or do you want to add something?
I did want to add that February 16th at 2 p.m. is an ASL interpreted performance as well.
So that option, and do people need to let the folks know at the Paradise ahead of time option is available?
It would be nice, because then they would sell them seats that would be particular to that area.
Perfect. I think it's always interesting too, as a patron, to go and to like pay attention to the ASL interpretation too sometimes, because it just adds another element to the show. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. It's a beautiful thing that we're able to provide that.
Correct.
To the community.
Yes. And so this production, you described this. I've got to get the quote. I loved it. It at times dramatic, silly, and a bit madcap. And so you travel the world quickly. And that's where I think some of the imagination parts come in. And I want to know how you guys are moving from different parts of the world and what are some of the things you are looking forward to sharing with the audience. So whoever wants to jump in and tell us about some of the things that are going to happen on stage and the places we go and the things we see and the encounters we have.
I'll chip in here.
Sure.
I think what's really fun about this production is that Patrick has made it so during the scene changes, when we are like transitioning from a scene to maybe a boat or a train or something like that. The scene is changing in front of us. We're watching the whole thing happen, and so it is just within a matter of, you know, seconds probably, but it really gives the audience that feel of a transition. And so you know, like there's one of my first scenes, next thing I know, I'm 3 days later. And then we're, you know, Phileas likes to mention, you know, what date it is and what we need to be, where we need to be at a certain date. And that's kind of part of his character because he's got it so mathematically, you know, projected. And so I think that's really kind of neat too, just to see those transitions happen.
Mm-hmm.
I love those transitions too. And one thing that I love to do, because, you know, it's a play and we can only have it be so long, but I love to imagine what they do during those very long train rides and boat rides, probably just gambling, playing cards, but I like to think about that. I think it's very fun.
Yeah, and right, because that's not part of what you want to show on the stage, but you want the adventure and then the movement too. What do you think is keeping your character going throughout this whole trip as they're you know, entering each place? I'm curious if he was so focused on the challenge of the transportation, does he remember to like experience the place he's in?
I think his main focus is winning and being right. I think as the show goes on, he gets a little more interested in what goes on around him. But for a large portion of it, he's seen it all in his little book. He knows all this stuff. He doesn't really care. He just wants to make his money and to be right and to win. But at a certain point, he does start to enjoy the experience the things and enjoy them more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
As the journey progresses.
Yeah, I think that's such a great part. I think that's part of what makes this show a story that people want to retell and rethink. You know, it's the wonder of the world. And I'm curious, Patrick, is this like all this movement in your rehearsals right now?
Yes.
Is each transition choreographed like you would a dance or, you know, because you've got props, you've got people coming and going? I'm so fascinated by that.
It is highly choreographed.
Okay.
And we're still getting there, but what I need to see is what the audience sees, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that those do need to be seamless, and they move, and there's music in between all of those scenes. I work in music. I don't work personally in music, but that's how this production is based, through music that brings us through the movements.
Oh, so do you have?
So there's a soundtrack underneath almost all of it, especially then the scene transitions that drive that movement as well. So there's different layers you'll see and hear as well. What's going on through there.
What a great way to set the mood as you move to a new place or a new mode of transportation.
Well, and the music of different countries as well,
mm-hmm.
that bring us and set that feeling as well. One of the things that I learned when I directed Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is that they're constantly moving. They're moving through the factory. Right?
Yes.
So that is how this is as well. And maybe that's somewhere in the back of my head where I wanted to do that again. It was about the movement. We're always moving from this place to this place. And that's exciting to me. and to create that sense for everyone, for that audience to sit there and go, oh my gosh, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and there's another character that isn't here today that mm-hmm. plays kind of a big role. Is that something you want to reveal to us here, do you think? Okay.
So the character's name is Inspector Fix. And so he's trying, his theory is that Phileas Fogg is a bank robber of the Bank of England.
Oh.
So he's kind of following them.
So that's the money, everybody's still wondering why you got all that money.
I don't know. But throughout the show, my character and Fix interact quite a bit, and we're very buddy-buddy. We're like best friends. And then we're not.
Like best friends.
And the character is just so goofy, and, you know, he very bumbly. Brandon, who plays him, is just doing a fantastic job. Very, very lovely.
So there's another element to the story. And I was curious, so you mentioned you'd read a couple different versions, and I was curious about bringing this to the stage for a modern audience. The story was written in 1872. I haven't read the original book, and I'd kind of thinking that might be a kind of fun adventure to do as well. But are there things you had to adapt? Because how they viewed the world was different than how we view the world. How do you, as the director, kind of, you're probably obligated maybe to say what's on the lines, or are there questions about that, or you have to deal with some of those things with the cast?
Right. So
it was a different world
within the script. Yes. We're stuck to that, right? Mm-hmm. To those words. But it's still set. There's a setting, right? We have a time period.
Mm-hmm.
But as a director, I am able to play with that if I want to, and we do a little bit. We're up and down and all around, and there's some little surprises that I will not divulge at this time
to
where we break from that time period, and again. I think there's enough little surprises in there to keep everybody going.
So even if they've seen a different production, this one will be unlike any other
Right. Certain aspects to, if you've seen the film, mm-hmm. if you've seen the PBS miniseries, if you've seen any of the versions, they're all quite different.
Mm.
They're very, very different, with additional characters, a different means of travel. So I think that this... I haven't read the novel as well, but this sticks probably to the original story as well as possible.
That's
but I don't.
Because you always bring something. And that's a good thing a director should do, to get yourself excited about the show, get everybody else in the cast interested. I wonder, for those of you playing characters, is there a question you would want to ask your character if you could? Something about their life, or something or maybe something you've been wrestling with the character, and how to play them on the stage and how to bring them to life. What have you learned? Let's start with you, Chris. You play Mrs. Aouda. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Aouda.
Aouda.
Yes. I guess I'm fascinated with her because here she was about ready to go to her death. But because she was well educated, she is quite progressive. So I oftentimes think this was in 1872, you know, or whatever. She's well read, and she's questioning, you know, rights of people and different things. She has her opinions, which oftentimes women weren't vocalizing their opinions back then or mm-hmm. taking much stands, but she has her independence, and so she makes that clear, you know, that she's independent. But I guess I do wonder, I really am curious about what she ends up doing after this play, you know, what...
That's a sign of a good character when you want to know what's next.
Yeah, especially, you know, at that time, and her personality, will she go on to create something, you know, for other women, you know, women's rights, or will she be part of that movement? Will she, you know, have her own business. She's very, very, very smart, but also, I think, kind of, you know, worldly as well, very knowledgeable. So
yeah, it's been fascinating to me. I don't know about all the rest of you, but I keep coming across stories that talk about the late 1800s as a reflection of some of what's going on in the world. And I think, wow, that's hard to believe that 1870s, 80s, and 90s are relevant, right? But they are. And so that's fortuitous for you to have this play set and for us to explore. Is there, how about for either of you, Carson or or Zeke, anything about your character that you're exploring or trying to figure out how to bring to the stage, or what are some of the ways you've connected with the character?
I am really trying to, like I said earlier, I have never played a character this big, a part this big before.
Do you have to have a British accent?
I do.
Oh, how's that going?
It's going okay. It's better than it was at the start.
That is such a hard thing to take on.
It's okay. It's easy to do a British accent. It's hard to do a British accent consistently.
Mm.
And that's something fair. That I didn't think about until we were doing the show, and I was like, "This is not sticking where I want it to." But I am at times I'm struggling to think just of, because emotionally, my character is, I think, pretty distant and closed off to himself a lot of the time, but I'm trying to figure out the spots where he kind of breaks his shell a little bit, and that definitely happens, like, at some points very clearly throughout the show, and I'm working on how he would do that and kind of his demeanor through mm-hmm. that and how that would change.
Is learning an accent like learning music in a way? I mean, does it have its rhythm and patterns, and I don't know if...
I know that when I was studying this...
Shakespeare, you did all that,
A little bit, but, you know, even the accents, there's some... Within English, there's several different kinds, mm-hmm. and so am I the Queen's English? Am I, you know, Northern or Cockney or... So there's such... Like Carson was saying, or I mean, what Zeke was saying, sorry. you know, it's easy to do it for a while, but to stick with that, like, it's kind of, you have to concentrate.
That's right. How about for your character then? Because you're French in your, yes. in your character. And so what elements have you had to bring forward?
Well, my French accent is very exaggerated for comedic effect.
Mm.
And there are some words that are very difficult and just... like with the French accent kind of sound goofy.
Mm. And you have to say it with both of you so that the audience understands too, not just because you can't play it up so much that it doesn't sound like words we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing that I am working on with my character is like, I know he's kind of goofy and he gets distracted easily. But how far does that go, you know, because he's going around the world and, you know, he's Mr. Fogg's valet, so he has to pay at least a little bit of attention.
he is does have a job.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this just sounds like so much fun because there's so much you're playing with here. And you talked about imagination and how we in the audience are going to have to do our part too. So what do you think the audience needs to know about coming to this production? If you want to
be
answer,
ready,
Patrick?
For a wild ride.
Okay.
Right? So we have these main characters, but one of the other things that I like to mention is that we have an ensemble of actors playing a multitude of roles. So when we talk about different accents, you know, we're traveling throughout the world. We're not trying to do some of the accents, you know, we've got these silly characters throughout.
Right, because they meet people along
the
way.
They meet people along the way. And they have to have their passports stamped. So we run into a couple of different passport stamping scenarios, which are, I think, are really funniest things I've seen. To watch actors do things on their own and to create that funny magic that just tickles me to death. I love it so much to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the audiences are going to be entertained by that.
That does sound like one of the great things. And then, and for people to, I mean, that's why I love going to the theaters. It sort of lets you just step away from the world for a little bit and, you know, go on this adventure with other people doing some of that. And you put yourself in the position, what would I do in that spot? Or I can't believe that character. Just like you're reading a novel, right? You're engaged with the characters and rooting for them and wanting to make something happen. And so I'll have you each share, like, what's one detail about the show that you are excited to share with the audience? We heard about the elephant, so that's like the big one. We don't want to give anything away with that. But what are some of the things that you're like, I want my friends to come see this. This is something people need to know about. This is a reason to buy your ticket now to come and see the show Around the World in 80 Days at the Paradise Center for the Arts.
Hard to think of one.
Oh, I love that. Anything you can share to help our listeners know a little bit more about this production?
Oh, I just think they're in for a treat. I just think that there's just so much to see and experience with this. I think it's just going to be a real treat to come out and you know, get out of the house. It's going to be, it's mid-February. You know, people tend to stick around inside their houses, so come on out and just like have a night where it's just fun.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Anything else? Anyone else wants to add?
I wanted to add that this Inspector Fix character is played by Brandon Noble. And he's been on the stage many times at the Paradise, recently in Scrooge and also in Crazy for You. And I love his work. And I am so excited to have been able to cast him in the show, to work with him on this and on this aspect, because I've wanted to for years. We've never been in we're in the same production, but in a different aspect. So that's exciting to me.
Mm-hmm. So for you, the excitement is just having all these wonderful people on the stage and this creating this community, as you mentioned.
And also, you know, there's a lot going on in our world right now. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with some escapism. And this is certainly going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is one of those shows that people are going to say to their friends and neighbors and call people up and say, you got to go see this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And those tickets are on sale right now, so you don't have to wait.
Correct.
And I always say with theater productions, don't wait until the last day or two, because sometimes I've been disappointed and like, oh, darn it, that show's not available any longer, right? They, like you said, people start spreading the word.
Right.
And so that is important to get there. 14th, 15th, 21st, and 22nd at 7:30. That's February. And then again on Sundays, the 16th and the 23rd at 2 p.m. That's at the Paradise Center for the Arts, Around the World in 80 Days, Paradise Community Theater, which is doing just incredible things down in Faribault at the Paradise Center for the Arts. An incredible show. And, you know, we just keep, I love that about humans, that we just keep the adventure going, right? Like there's some, no matter what happens, we're always seeking something new, something to help connect us to other people, to see the world. And I thought maybe we'd end by having you guys each share, because you've all been in so many different productions, and the theater world is a world that you keep traveling to and going back to. So what would you say are the ingredients that allow you to keep following your theater dreams? And what would you say to people out there thinking, I wonder if I could be a part of that?
I'll start with that.
Yeah.
Mine is about collaboration.
I love that word.
It is. I go into something and I say, this needs to be about everybody. I have some vision, obviously, that I want to see some certain things, but it is about collaboration, and it is about me being moldable as well to an actor's idea, a designer's idea. One of the things that is so incredibly exciting is that the design team.
Oh, I forgot to ask. I had that on my list. The costumes and the
Laura
props
O'Connor, who is working, is headed up the design team. I had no idea the talent this woman has.
Ooh.
She is bringing so much excitement to this stage with her props and her set pieces that I've been working on with her as well. It's really, really exciting to work with somebody that is so incredibly talented.
Yeah, and that's what happens in a theater production. Everything is created. Like, there's nothing on the stage, and then each group that does a production creates the world. and, you know, makes things come to life and adds all those little elements, whether it's creating a hat shop or a tea house or a bedroom in a boat. I mean, whatever you need to do.
Or a hookah den.
See, now that's something we should talk about. Right. Yeah, you got to bring all that to life. Thank you. How about for the rest of you? What keeps you going on that artistic journey in the theater?
I think for me, it's the variety and the way every show has its own challenges. And sometimes it'll drive you crazy, but from every challenge you learn something. And it's for me, over specifically the last couple of years, I've been acting a lot more. I feel like I've just grown so much, even just like outside of theater, social skill wise. And
wow, that's such a great point.
Every show I learn something new, and there's so many reasons to keep coming back, you know. In some shows you could play a soldier in one show and then a cowboy in the next, and like it's basically your dream as a little kid, every possible dream you could just do it in theater. Yeah.
That's a good reason. Yeah, because we shouldn't stop playing even as we get older. I think that's a really great lesson. How about for you, Carson?
My answer is very similar to Zeke's. I love, you know, being able to play someone that's not like me. And, you know, I would be lying if I said I haven't been cast as, like, a role that I've been like, oh, man. But even then, like, once you start, you know, studying the material and putting in the effort, then I think it always pays off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that sense. I think that's something that I hear again and again from every group, is that it's just such a great experience, and you get to, you know, create a world together and have this magical time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really thrilled that this is coming to the stage and that we get to see it. Folks can go to paradisecenterforthearts.org/theater and pick up tickets. I also want to mention, Julie wanted me to talk about another event that's happening in February. So this will be after you guys close. That's Julie Faulkner, the director of the Paradise. Tommy Ryman is coming. And if you're talking about getting out and needing to break away from what's happening in the world, he is a comedian. He was a semifinalist on NBC's Last Comic Standing. Is an acclaimed, oddly adorable stand-up is what it was described. His album Party Troll, which I just love that name, was named Best of the Midwest at Gilda's Laugh Fest. He grew up in Minnesota, and this is my favorite thing, he jammed on the clarinet for his new age mom and kale chip making dad. I mean, who couldn't imagine that you get comedy out of that? And he performs all around the country. And so folks should get tickets for that. He's performed with many names you'll know. That's one night, Friday, February 28th at 7:30. And you can get those tickets at Paradise Center for the Arts as well. So always have popped up, you know, the calendar for the Paradise to see what's happening, because there's classes and events and gallery shows and theater that people can come to. So I'm so excited for this Around the World in 80 Days, because I've always loved that idea. Like, imagine it would be such a thrill to have that experience and sort of bring it to the stage, lets me have it. And so I want to thank Patrick and Zeke and Carson and Chris for being here on Art Zany Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Folks, this is Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I hope you always remember to add a little bit of Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events, or call our box office at 507-332-7372.